This is Will's Band of the Week for February 18th, 2013. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Here I am.
Chris says that he didn't listen to any music this week, so he wasn't prepared to be on the podcast. You know, he's got high standards.
That never stops me.
Yeah, I don't think it would stop me either. But Chris has higher standards than we do. You know, he's always more professional than you and I, don't you think?
He's more prepared.
Yeah, right? like Chris could talk like for a full minute or two without like stumbling over his words, right?
I like to talk in short spurts.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and I like to bumble a lot where I have to go back and edit because I bumble too much. And you just pause. You pause a lot. I bumble a lot. And Chris just, he's so smooth.
I pause a lot?
Yeah, you pause. Yeah.
Huh.
You say, and there's like 5 seconds. But I always cut out the 5 seconds, so it's beautiful.
Oh, really?
Yeah, listeners never hear it.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Wow, I must keep you busy.
Yeah, no, it's actually...
I don't do it that often, do I?
Well, one of the easiest things to do in editing... Look at this line right here. See this? Right there.
Yeah.
Just chop it out. Really easy. It's harder to edit like a bumbling thing. Like when I'm talking about something and I start repeating myself or I, you know, misphrase something and then I've got to like figure out how to chop it. That's actually harder.
Right.
So pauses are actually better because that's probably what I should be doing when I don't know what I'm doing, right? I should pause.
Yeah, I'm doing it again. You ruined it.
I've got you self-conscious
yes,
now.
Yes, you have. I got to stop looking at the at the little lines on the thing.
You got to look the other way. Yeah. Absolutely. So, okay, now again, we don't do because Chris told us not to do the contact information at the beginning because, and I think he's right, because you got to give that at the end. You got to launch right into the meat of the podcast because it's not the first thing they want to hear is not, you know, how can you contact the podcast? They want to hear that at the end if it was worthy to contact us, right?
I guess. I mean, doing it at the beginning makes it sound like a radio show because that's, you know, that's what you do on a radio show. Here we are at WILL radio on your AM dial. You know, the request line is open, 236.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, blah, blah, blah. So,
yeah.
I think you were coming from the radio tradition.
Well, maybe we should have the listeners tell us, but I was sort of persuaded by Chris's reasoning. So, do you think there's a radio station, WILL, or do you think we could take that if it's not taken?
I think we can take it.
Yeah, we should. Then we'll figure out a frequency. It can be just a fake frequency, right?
Yeah. And something in the 90s for sure.
Yeah.
Like, on the left-hand side of the dial.
It can't be... Yeah, it can be like 102.3 or something.
Right.
That's totally uncool.
Yeah.
And the 80s are sort of too, you know... They're either like completely underground or they're like public radio, right?
Right.
So it probably should be somewhere in the 90s.
We want like 91.5.
That'd be pretty good.
How about that?
I think that could be good. Yeah.
91.5 WILL.
Yeah. Okay, that's something, again, in development. We have so many ideas. All right, so what are we doing here? We're going to... I got some new stuff this week. This is pretty exciting. Listen to this. And now it's time for the quiz question of the week. So here's the idea.
Wow.
Here's the idea.
Very professional.
Either of us can pose a quiz question to the other two, the other one or two, okay? And it doesn't have to be like a real quiz. It could just be any kind of question you feel like posing to somebody, okay?
Okay.
So if you've got one, you just tell me, I put the jingle on, and we go ahead with it, okay?
All right.
Okay, so I'm going to start it. Ready?
Okay.
Here's my question of the week. Which album will be better? The new album by The Strokes or the new album by Vampire Weekend? That's what I'm posing for the week. What do you think?
I think that There'll be people lined up to take shots at each of them. And I think that actually Vampire Weekend's going to be a little better. But then I'm going to like the Strokes too.
Okay. As much as I'd like to generate controversy, I was thinking the same thing. I think the Strokes are more likely to have reached a mental block and not be able to come up with something that interesting. But Vampire Weekend, like you said, people will take shots at it for sure. But they've taken so long between albums that it seems like they'll probably come up with something that's fairly interesting and not exactly the same as what they've done before.
Right.
And maybe I'm a little biased because they're a little bit younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I should be biased the other way.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's how we should be. But, right. Yeah. So, just something I was thinking about. So, I thought I'd turn it into a quiz question.
Yeah, that's good.
So, now here's something else. I found this. And so, here's what I need to know. What should we use this as theme music for? Because this is a thing that my son did with this looping program when he was like 8 years old. But it's kind of rocking. Listen to this. So, let us know. What should that be a theme for? You know, this week's something, right?
Something.
It's kind of rocking, right?
It is kind of rocking.
Yeah. Bass and drums. I bet Wilson has some stuff like that too, right?
Yeah, he composed a song called Hairy Butt with his friend Jonah.
I think you mentioned that in the
Grace.
Podcast.
Yeah,
right?
I think we played a sample of Hairy Butt.
Uh-huh.
And he's got some other ones. Earth Invasion Party in the West. It's a classic.
Yeah. So, I don't know. If you want to send me the MP3s, maybe we could use those as like bumper music for something.
All right.
I think we need to color in the podcast because so much of it is just our voices.
What do they say about if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Yep.
We don't want to tinker too much, right?
But we're going to enhance.
We're going to enhance.
It's not broke, but we're going to make it even better.
All right.
Okay, there's one more thing. I'm just unstoppable this week. The music news. This week's music news is recording console news. You know, we've had a theme of recording console news, right?
Yeah.
So, you know the band Phoenix?
Yes.
They have finished recording their new album, and this was just in the news. They bought the recording console that was used for Michael Jackson's Thriller to make their new album. They were like, hey, this would be cool if we recorded our new album with this recording console. So they bought a Harrison 4032 solid-state recording console. They got it on eBay. And apparently the seller was asking $32,000 for it, but they bargained it down to $17,000.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty good deal.
Seems like it. I mean, for a, you know, huge recording console, whether it was used on Thriller or not,
right?
You think that might cost $17,000 anyway, right?
You would think.
So.
It's not like it's a Neve or anything, but still,
yeah,
it's historic.
Right.
Speaking of Michael Jackson and Thriller and things that people bought that were associated with that, Jesse Jackson Jr., you know, is spending all this campaign money for personal use, and he's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
One of the things he bought was apparently the guitar that Eddie Van Halen used on the Beat It solo on Thriller.
Oh, that solo.
Yeah.
That was Eddie Van Halen.
What,
that's right.
He paid for it? $4,000.
Wow.
That's nothing.
Yeah, that's... It's pretty reasonable.
I'm really shocked that it's that's inexpensive.
Seems like a pretty good...
Somebody must have gotten that wrong.
That's a reasonable use of campaign funds, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
we should ask Chris that.
What are you going to do, just like buy all ads on TV?
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
No. In fact, you could put the guitar in one of your ads.
Yeah.
And maybe you'd get more than $4,000 back from your investment.
Yeah.
From buying that guitar. That's probably what he had in mind.
Sure.
Yeah. What kind of guitar was it? Any idea?
I don't know. Didn't he have like the The thing, it was like red with all kinds of crisscrossing lines on it and stuff, and kind of a bent neck on the top.
Yeah.
Like some goofy 80s guitar.
Those bent neck things. Is that like a Washburn maybe, or a
I don't know
Jackson?
If it was a, yeah, I think like a Jackson kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, who knows what he used in the studio. They could have just handed him anything, right? He'd probably want to play one of his own guitars, though, for his own solo.
Yeah, you'd think so, and he kind of make sure he's comfortable with it. Did I pause there again?
Not too badly.
How many times do I do it in a regular
flowing.
Podcast?
Well, it's
you
sort
just
of like
paused there.
When I'm editing, it's like, what mood am I in? Am I going to allow 1 second pauses? Am I going to allow, 2 seconds or less? It's kind of like what I'm as, sitting here at master control, like what I decide the flow should be. Because it's really pretty easy to just chop out a little pause.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the hypothetical listener who's saying to him or herself, I'm willing to wait 2 more seconds before I turn this podcast off. And then if I chop it, boom, I keep that listener, right?
Right.
Because only 1 second went by, it kept them listening.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking every time I chop something out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, those are the exciting new jingles that I've got. Although I did do something else. I recorded the contact information so that I don't have to say it at the end. I'm going to press a button.
Oh.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to save a lot of time.
A lot of time. It'll save me like 45 seconds every week.
Right.
So, and then I'll probably get sick of it and have to re-record it. But hey, what the hell? We're improving this thing every week. So we've got some music to talk about, as we always do. So now, am I just going to play this stuff and you're going to react? Or do you have you formulated any opinions on this music this week?
I did listen to Frightened Rabbit.
And that's what we're going to play first.
Yeah.
Frightened Rabbit from Glasgow, right?
I know they're from Scotland. I don't know where.
I think it's Glasgow.
Glasgow is kind of like the only city in Scotland as far as I'm concerned.
It's the musical hotbed. I mean, there's Edinburgh, which is the other like cool big city. But apparently they have totally different flavors, like they're really different. And I know we have some listeners from Scotland, so maybe they can tell us, but my sister spent a semester abroad and got a little flavor for that too. This was back in, she's not quite as old as I am, but this was probably 25 years ago, whatever. So pretty cool, though. I'm going to go there sometime. Not to, there's the music, but also you could go on a Scotch whiskey tour.
That would be nice.
Would that be cool? That would be really cool. And on that subject, we're sampling a little Johnny Walker Double Black tonight.
Yep.
I didn't even know it existed, but I found it in the local Costco store a couple days ago, and I'm like, well, I've got to try that.
Let me take a little drink here.
Okay.
Critically. This pause is because I'm drinking. You don't have to cut this one out.
Right.
Because then it's going to look like I drank it really fast.
Right. We'll make this.
So this pause
we'll leave it in, yeah.
Natural. Yeah, I like it.
It's pretty good, right?
It is good.
Yeah. We're not bad enough snobs to only drink like single malt, right? We're okay
with
we'll a
drink
good
some
blend.
Blend. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So Frightened Rabbit, I think it's their fourth album. And I have to say, this is one of those albums where maybe part of it is that just because you have low expectations, then when it's pretty good, you're like, hey, this is pretty good. Because the fourth album, to me, maybe not with all bands, but in this case, I was thinking they're going to finally kind of just stagnate and the album is probably not going to be that great. But I'm pleasantly surprised. It has a really good sound. It's really well recorded. The songs are enough different from each other. They're not falling into a rut or anything. I really think it's pretty solid. And the album is called Pedestrian Verse. So why don't we just start with something? Here's one that I like a lot. I like some of the slower, moodier ones, but there's a real good variety on this thing. But I'm going to start with one of those called Nitrous Gas. Thank you.
down the gospel singers and turn up the old heartbreakers. I'm dying to tell you that I'm dying here. Throw up the sickly joy and I'll swallow the sweet self-loathing. I'm just dying to be unhappy again.
Nitrous gas.
It's a good one. That was my first pick too.
Well, I'm happy to have stolen your pick.
Yeah,
that's not the only slower, moodier track either.
Right.
It's and then it'll surprise you with some rockin' stuff too. So right. do you have a second pick?
Yeah, I'm gonna pick song number 3 called Holy.
Yeah, you read my mind. That was my second pick, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not often. That doesn't often happen.
I know. We have the same picks. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Holy. And that's, yeah, that's where they're really rocking. So I think those two, they show a good representation about how the album kind of runs the gamut from the moody, slow stuff to the rock and stuff, and in between too. It's just it's got a good good variety of, but all in the spirit of Frightened Rabbit, which is always a little bit, you know, what are we gonna say? It's downcast,
right?
You know,
what do they sound like? I can't.
They sound like some other bands from Scotland, you know, like We Were Promised Jetpacks and The Twilight Sad, and yeah, you know,
I can't remember what those bands sound like.
There's something. There's something of the geographic region. I think
it's got the essence of Scotland.
Yeah, and it's great.
As Scottish as these drinks that we're drinking.
Exactly. Maybe it's the music you make when the sky is gray all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, I think Frightened Rabbit's first album was called Sing the Grays. Does that sound right? Grays, as in G-R-E-Y-S. So I think I'm onto something there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's... So let's play another one. See if we're tracking on this one, too. I'm going to pick track 9, State Hospital.
Conception, State Hospital birth. The most threadbare, tall story the country's ever heard. Brought home to breathe smoke in the arms of her mother, the blunt kitchen knife, who just lays in a submissive position beneath a national weight and the slow arc of a fist. Her heart beats like a breeze ball thrown down the stairs. Her blood is thicker than concrete, forced to be there. She was born into a grave. And in the limp 3 years of board schooling, she's accustomed to hearing that she could never run far. A slipped disc in the spine of community, a bloody curse word in a pedestrian verse. Spirits in graveyards and fingers in car parks, she cries in the high street just to be heard. A screaming anchor for nothing in particular, at the foot of the fuck of it, dragging her heels in the dirt. Her heart beats like a breeze block thrown down the stairs. Her blood is thicker than concrete, forced to be where she was born into a grave.
Frightened Rabbit.
Why is the Scottish singers, you know, they sound Scottish and you can hear the accent, and then also like British Cockney singers like, you know, Billy Bragg, you know, why do they not sound, you know, they all pretty much all English singing kind of sounds, you know, of one voice, right?
Yeah.
You know, like the Beatles don't sound like they're necessarily British, but Scottish bands. And, you know, kind of working class British bands with a Cockney accent. They're always kind of, they kind of stand out. Why is that? We need a linguist on staff.
Has anybody ever asked Paul McCartney why when he sings he sounds like an American and when he talks he sounds like he's British, you know?
I don't know if
weird,
anybody
has.
It is.
And there are few, but some examples the other way around. Like, people always say Robert Pollard sings like a British guy, right? Which is, I think there's some truth to that. He doesn't sound like, he sounds like a British band singing that sings sort of American sounding, if that makes sense, right? He doesn't sound like an Americana singer,
right?
So there's clearly some affectation of his,
right,
of his enunciation. But it's got to be working both ways, because it's got to be happening with the British bands that they're that
right.
There's something like it feels right to sing kind of American sounding, right?
Sure. I mean, back in the early days of British rock, you know, you had the Beatles and the Stones and the Who and stuff, Yardbirds. I mean, they were trying to sound like American rock acts and American blues acts. So, you know, they're right from the onset of British rock music, you know, that's highly imitative of American music.
Maybe that's what it is. And then maybe but
Scotland is a little more independent.
Yeah.
At least in that one limited, narrow way.
So it just shows that they're real.
Right? They're real.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Frightened Rabbit is real. Now, hopefully they, you know, they aren't like always as like, you know, depressive thinking like as right. their music is, right? I hope their lives aren't as bad like as every song happy. Might imply. Yeah. But yeah, this is a good solid album. So if you like those tracks, I recommend the new album by Frightened Rabbit called Pedestrian Verse.
Yeah, me too. You know, I was before this one came out, or at least before one of us suggested that it was, you know, that it would be that we'd talk about it. Their last one came up randomly at the coffee shop.
Hmm.
I was like, "What is this again? I can't remember what this is."
Mm-hmm.
So just like a week before I heard this, I listened to the old one. I thought, you know, I like that pretty much.
Yeah,
I think I like it more now than I did when it was current.
And for some reason, this is one of those bands where every album, I really liked their first one a lot. And I think I kept thinking, with each album, I keep thinking, yeah, this just isn't going to be as good as their older stuff. And then it's always pretty solid. So all of their albums are pretty good. I don't know how I would rank them, except that right now I'm saying this one's pretty good. Oh, I did see them live, by the way.
Like, you did?
2 years ago, maybe. And they were good. I liked them a lot. So I hope they come back again.
Is that at a festival or at a club?
They were at the High Noon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And if I recall correctly, maybe I can like give you and Chris a hard time about this. Because as I recall, I was all by myself. Nobody went with me.
Mm.
But I did go up, you know, close to the front. And they're probably wondering, like, why is that old guy near the front? Right? Old guys right. shouldn't be near the front. But I was, and it was great.
Yeah.
So, good nice. Live band, as well as a good recorded band.
So, it was 2 years ago. I could try to come up with an excuse, but...
Something you were doing 2 years ago?
I think I was sick.
Yeah, I think so.
I was sick that day.
Yeah. Must have been. All right, we got another one. I'm going to tell everybody about Local Natives. This is a band, it's their second album, and another one where I was not really necessarily looking forward to it that much, but, you know, willing to listen. And I think it's probably better than their first album. Although I haven't gone back and listened to the first album, all I know is that this one's a little better than I thought it would be, and probably because all the reviews say, well, this is kind of more dark, and I always like dark albums, right?
Yeah.
I think I do. Of course.
You like the dark side of the moon.
Yeah. Look, Chris thinks I like ridiculously poppy stuff. So I guess sometimes I like ridiculously
you
poppy
like
stuff,
all.
Too.
You like it all.
I like it all. I'm a music guy. Yeah. Absolutely. So Local Natives are from L.A., so we're going to continue the L.A. thing we've been going with for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
And L.A., in this case, I'm going to say it's kind of the easygoing. This is an album where I think you need to kind of just sit back and not listen too actively or critically, and then you might think, hey, this is actually pretty good. It's got an easygoing kind of vibe to it. So we'll play some of it, and we'll go from there. The album is called Hummingbird. I'm going to start with track two called Heavy Feet, and the listeners can play that game again of what does this sound like.
Jeans, fireworks at the wall.
What does that sound like?
I clued you in already.
How? When?
I think when I told you and Chris about this band, I said this is how I described them. So you don't remember that. So did it strike you now? It's probably in there somewhere. But did this strike you as sounding like another band? Because I think it sounds quite a bit like a really famous one of the monsters of indie rock bands.
The National.
That's it.
Well, to be honest, sounds like before you said that, you know, before the like just the drum kind of intro.
Yeah.
I was thinking The National, but. I don't remember what you said. It sounded like The National fronted by.
Yeah.
But that is what you said.
I said it sounded like The National if they switched singers with Fleet Foxes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, this guy isn't quite like the Fleet Foxes guy, but, kinda. It's more like.
A little less Americana.
You take The National and you put more of a traditional singer out in front, right? Rather than the baritone Matt Berninger. And a lot of this sounds like that, which, and you know, I think there's room for a band like this. I thought at first that, you know, there was something about it that sounds a little dated, like not ridiculously dated, but like, you know, indie rock from 2007 or something.
Yeah.
But I think it has enough distinctiveness to offer, and some of the melodies are kind of this sort of low key. National like stuff, which I think is good, and you know, maybe the guy, he's not quite maybe the academic singer that the Fleet Foxes guy is, but he's a good singer, and they emphasize their vocals a lot. So
yeah,
interesting band, and they, you know, they sound a little LA, don't they, a little California, when you know that already, at least
I suppose.
All right, let's try another track. This is track 5, Breakers. Local Natives. The album is called Hummingbird.
Yeah, to me it just sounds, I mean, it's fine, but yeah, it's just kind of run-of-the-mill indie rock.
Yep, well, there is that element to it, but it kept itself on my rotation for long enough that I warmed up to it. And I should say there is a connection with The National. One of those Dessner brothers, Aaron and Bryce Dessner from The National, one of those guys, I'm going to say it was Aaron, but I'm not sure, played on at least one track on this album.
Huh.
So they must have caught the attention of The National in some way. So, yeah. So I'm going to play one more. Track 9, Mount Washington.
Stain in the ceiling. Why does it keep saying I don't have to see you right now? I don't have to see you right now.
Sampling of Hummingbird by the local natives.
Yep.
The local natives? Or nope, just local natives.
Just local natives. Some L.A. indie rock. So we're getting some more L.A. stuff. So that's good. You got to balance out Brooklyn. But of course, we could always have some Midwest stuff, too.
That's true.
That's the ultimate balance, right?
We don't do a lot of Midwest stuff.
No.
Why is that?
We do Wilco.
We do Wilco.
Yeah.
What else have we done? We'll talk about Robert Pollard once in a while.
Bon Iver.
Bon Iver?
Yeah.
Well,
I talked about those Bon Iver cohorts, Field Report.
Yes.
You ever listen to Field Report? It's pretty good.
No, but a friend was saying that they were playing in Madison on Saturday.
Yeah, they played.
We should go, and I
know.
Didn't go.
And they played last fall, too, like in September, October or something. Maybe even November. It wasn't that long ago. And I almost went to that one, and then this one, there was too much going on. But that's a worthy band. So, yeah, we'll keep our eyes open for the Midwest bands.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, aside from the band of you and me and Chris, that's going to be a powerhouse band.
We have to come up with a name for that band yet.
Can we be called a supergroup?
I think supergroup.
Let's just declare ourselves a supergroup once we do like a single song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I could pound on some drums. I can get a drum track going and a bass track going. Yeah. That leaves you and Chris to do the guitars.
We'll have like a dual guitar attack like Thin Lizzy.
Exactly. Do like some double leads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if it's going to be Chris and I, or Chris and me, playing guitars, that we're going to have to be more like a noise rock band.
It could be.
So we're going to get away from, you know, the technical proficiency is not going to be our calling card. We're going to be able to bring the rock, but you don't want to listen to it.
Maybe
too
we should
carefully.
Do noise. Maybe we would be regarded as like even cooler than My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah.
Like with a noise attack we could have.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a good, you know, 10 guitar pedals down in the basement that I'm sure you guys could borrow.
Those pedals are
like, they're like 10 feet away from us, just like
just straight down. There.
Yeah, they're right down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think...
they can rock. They can make a rock sound, for sure.
Let's see what we can come up with.
Yeah, I think we should.
we'll unveil it next week at on the podcast.
You know, two summers ago, these recordings are getting old already. I tried making recordings that so that I could have like a real recording for the podcast theme.
Mm-hmm.
I've never finished them. I still have this little SD card that has those recordings on it. And I even had my friend Bert from the Netherlands come in and do some leads and stuff. And so this was like a studio project I had going, and then I just totally, I dropped the ball on it.
Yeah.
So I've got to get back to trying to mix that stuff, maybe color that in a little bit. But then I think really maybe you, me, and Chris should do like a noise rock thing too.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Don't you think?
Yeah, that'd be really fun.
Just so, with really no structure.
Right.
You know?
We'll just rock out.
Just rock out.
Yeah.
I guess we can keep to, we'll make it rhythmic so that it, you know, we want it to classify as music.
Right. Well, if I put
is
a
one of the hallmarks.
If I put a drum and a bass track down, we'll have to conform like to at least that much, right?
Sort of.
And then
kinda.
We can just rock over it.
Yeah.
I think this has promise.
Who's going to do the singing or the
Well, I don't know. We'll have
We
to
can have more like
that
talk yelling like yeah. you know the band Slint.
You like know that. What you know what often works with people who are both, let's say maybe I have a feeling that Chris, like if he really needed to, you know, he could do the vocals, right? He could sing, right? Maybe you could too.
I think I could sing.
When I've tried to actually sing, it's kind of not worked out too well. But one thing I've done is like half singing, half yelling with somebody else. Because if you've got like the cover that you're all like singing at the same time,
right?
Then you're kind of okay with it. Right.
Yeah, then it just sounds festive.
Did you ever like sing in the car with your friends when you're in college and you're like driving somewhere and like REO Speedwagon comes on and everybody starts singing it?
I guess.
It's hilarious. It's fun, you know. So
I didn't have a car in college though.
You must have had a like friend who had a car, right?
JJ had a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that doesn't count. That's the girlfriend. No. How about like with the guys?
We just walked everywhere.
So you never got
the
in
bus.
You never got in the car with the guys and like just drove.
I don't know. I mean,
and
I sang guess.
REO Speedwagon. Oh, you missed out.
Maybe I'll have to go to apply to grad school so I can do that.
You got to do
hey,
that.
Hey guys, let's sing some Speedwagon, and then if they don't do it, I'm gonna just drop out because that's the only reason I want to go back.
And it'd be so sad because then your dreams would be dashed.
They would
like,
be
this
dashed.
This is like what I'm here to do, and it doesn't happen, and you're like, oh my God, you can never go back.
Yeah.
And it'd just be just sadness from that point forward.
So I definitely got to try to get in the car and do this before, you know, it's like the deadline for dropping your courses.
Right.
Because I'm not going to go to the classes or anything.
Right.
This is just this is just for the you know, for the college experience that I apparently missed out on.
Yeah. Okay, one more question before we sign off for the night. What is this band called Umphrey's McGee?
They're like a jam band.
They came to town and they sold out.
Yeah, they always do.
Yeah.
It's a jam band.
I don't even know what it is.
I don't either. I mean, I know that it's probably terrible.
Is it like Fish or something?
Something like that.
It's a jam band, right?
Yeah. I don't know if I've heard three Fish songs in my life.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
the other night,
like that stuff.
About a week or two ago, Grant was asking me about the Grateful Dead. He's like, what does the Grateful Dead sound like? And I said, well, this is what you can do now. Let's dial them up on Spotify, and I'll tell you what they sound like. And so I remembered Alabama Getaway, so we pulled that one up, and he was just laughing, like, I can't believe this. This is terrible.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, and then, you know, when it ranked the popular songs, remember there was a song called Truckin'?
Yeah.
By the Grateful Dead. See, there were very few, but there were like just a handful of songs that got like actual airplay.
Right.
So then I put on Truckin', I said, here, this one, this was kind of popular too. Truckin'. You know, it's like, and Grant's like, I can't believe how bad this is.
Right.
And I told him that there was a critic from the from Rolling Stone. Was it Dave Marsh? Does that sound familiar?
He's with Rolling Stone.
Yeah, and I think he's the one who said that the Grateful Dead is probably the worst famous rock band ever. You know, like, band to become famous that just isn't really any good. You know?
Yeah.
Except, again, it's art, right? I mean, what's good to somebody is bad to somebody else.
Well, I think so there are people are getting something out of it. And, you know, the way they interacted and whatever, I don't know. But, I mean, people really, really liked it. And I think they did something that other bands can't really do.
I guess what
I like, I think it sounds terrible.
I never got it. I guess what I would like to know is there some artistic merit to what they're doing other than a bunch of people getting together to take drugs? And if that's all it is, then it's just like bullshit music that doesn't deserve any credit whatsoever. But if there are people who like admired the music without being on drugs, then I'm going to say, all right, maybe there's something there that I can respect. There's my editorial.
Yeah. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and think that
there's
got to
be something. Because people can take drugs to anything, right?
Right.
So, yeah, there's got to be something. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, too.
But, yeah, well, boring music for people on drugs.
Yeah.
That's my...
Not a lot to offer, is
it? No, that's not for me.
Yeah, not me either. All right, anybody out there who's got a jam band that you want to tell us about that is the Grateful Dead or Fish or Umphrey's McGee or whatever, or somebody else, let us know if we have the wrong idea here.
I don't think we're going to hear much from our listeners. You know, if they liked jam bands, they probably wouldn't listen to us.
I wouldn't think so.
Not that they're not welcome to, but I think they think we have terrible taste in music.
What if you go on, like, let's check this. If you go on Spotify, because now they have these things, like, if you like this band, then you're going to like this other band, right? So if we put Grateful Dead into Spotify, what's it going to tell us, like, you know, what other artists that we should like?
Like Moby Grape.
Related artists, The Band, Fish, The Allman Brothers Band, Neil Young, Rolling Stones, Talking Heads. Now, some of that's just era, right?
Yeah.
That's related. That's different than, like, look at all this stuff.
Are those all dead bootlegs?
I don't know. It's just Dick's Picks Volume 4, Fillmore East.
Oh, wait, go back to that one.
It must have been a bootleg. Yeah. Here's a 30-minute track. Turn on your love light live at the Fillmore East. Here, let's see what it sounds like. Shadow me, yeah. Shadow me. It's a 30-minute track. We're about 6 minutes into it here.
Skip ahead and see if it sounds radically different.
Okay, we're going to skip to like the 20-minute mark. They're rocking out a little bit more. Let's go a few more minutes ahead. My opinion's not changing.
I don't get it.
All right. I think this is the most we're going to ever talk about the Grateful Dead on the podcast.
Yeah.
You think? Yeah. All right. Although I do have a tie that was designed by Jerry Garcia, and it's a really cool tie.
You do?
Yeah. He's got like a tie collection.
Huh.
Yeah.
What does it look like?
It's a bunch of
psychedelics.
Guitars.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of like blue on black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. You're at least open-minded.
Yeah.
You know?
Didn't reject it just because it was designed by him.
Right.
Know? Of course, if I found a tie designed by Win Butler from Arcade Fire, I'd be all over that.
Yeah, I bet you
That'd
would.
Be an indie rock tie.
Yeah.
If I had a tie designed by a guy from Vampire Weekend,
yeah,
I'd be wearing that
Definitely.
Thing for sure.
Yep. Hey, you know what? I forgot. I never mentioned this, but I just remembered a brush with greatness that I had.
What was that?
Rock greatness. It was about one. When was it? It was about a year ago. I was with my stepbrother, or my brother-in-law, Tom, rather, and my sister and my wife. And we were at that. There's this bar in the Hilton in O'Hare.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Zander was there.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you think of that? And then Tom went up and got his picture taken with him.
So how many people listen to the podcast know who Robin Zander is? I bet it's about you know, 21%.
I don't know.
He was the singer. Still is the singer. I think they still play, right?
Yeah, they
do. For the band Cheap Trick. Now, there's a Midwest band.
Yeah.
Rockford, Illinois. I just happened to stumble upon a thing on the Palladia channel. It was Cheap Trick Live from, like, maybe 2010. And I don't know if it was a special event or what, but it was Cheap Trick playing live.
Yeah.
And one of the funny things was that the guitar player, Rick Nielsen, he was always known for having a ridiculous collection of guitars. And he'd have guitars, like, custom made for him, and it just, like, outlandish, crazy. He had a guitar that had five necks on it. Remember that? It looked just ridiculous. It looked like just kind of dumb, you know, but it was just like just in its craziness, you know.
Right.
He was totally into that. And this recent live performance, I think just about every song, the roadie came out and handed him a different guitar.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if he played the same one two songs in a row. So the guy he's a collector. He loves guitars.
Right.
And they sounded okay. They, you know, I kind of thought Robin Zander is the kind of singer who you would think that he would be like singing an octave lower, you know, like Robert Plant, you know, the singers get older. They just, their vocal cords can't stretch like that, but he did pretty well.
Yeah.
The whole thing was pretty good.
I'd go see him. I've never seen him. I bet you have.
God, you know what?
That's you must sad. Have at like the out of Gamey County Fair. Or something.
Yeah, they used to play, stuff like that. You know, I can't even remember whether I actually saw them, but I was definitely a fan back in the old days. Their first album is really good. The very first album by Cheap Trick, I think it's self-titled. Go listen to that, people. It's pretty good. Sometime we'll play some on the podcast. I could like play one track now, but I don't think it would. We should give them a little more. We should play a little more Cheap Trick sometime.
Sure,
they're a band that they were kind of, I don't know if I want to say pioneers of power pop, but they were in on the 70s, probably in the same, you know, when Alex Chilton was doing his power pop, they were doing their power pop, right?
Right.
So,
are they in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I have no idea.
They gotta be.
There's some. What's the rule? I think it's got to be.
You have to be 25 years old, right?
It's 25 years after
you started
your first album or something like
that.
Yeah, maybe that's, well, they would easily be eligible then.
Right.
We'll have to look that up. But not now. We don't have time. We're almost at an hour. And we, as it is, this podcast might be a day later than usual. It's been a busy week. But we'll get it out to you because that's what we do, right?
Yep. So, see, we're at about 58 minutes. Once you take out all my pauses, it's going to get like it down to about 35 minutes.
Yeah, about that. That 3 minute pause where you were just looking at me,
right?
That one will get taken out.
Yeah, maybe that one.
So you know that's not really fair because tonight, for example, I think tonight I've had like four or five times that I've had to start a sentence over again.
Yeah,
because and my standards are high. So,
yeah.
You know, and the dog is not happy with me either. Are you not happy with me? Okay, all right. Time to sign off. Dog is sad about that.
Yes.
So, anything else? Are we ready to sign off?
Well, you're going to play the contact information, right?
Oh, yeah, I better do that. Okay.
I'm going to hear this.
So, before we do that, though, I think we should say goodnight and let the contact information just take us out, okay?
Oh, okay.
Even though the dog doesn't want us to sign off because he's sad for some reason. All right, goodnight, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week. With another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the webpage willsband.net. You can also contact us through the Will's Band of the Week Facebook page or on Twitter @willsband. You can also, of course, download the podcast on iTunes, the Stitcher app, or any other podcasting app. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin.